John Q. Public. That's the generic name that's given to the common, ordinary American male. He's also known as John Q. Citizen or John Q. Taxpayer. You need to know that John Q. Public has a female counterpart. It's a very creative name. She's Jane Q. Public. Jane Q. Taxpayer, Jane Q. Citizen. Now, if the two of them happen to get married, they simply become Mr. and Mrs. John Q. and Jane Q. Public, Taxpayer, or Citizen. These two people, they represent the common, ordinary, regular, hardworking, good-willed, tax-paying Americans. That's who they are. And the reason why I give you this opening is as I look around here in our sanctuary this morning, probably just about every single one of us meet that profile. We're a bunch of John Q. and Jane Q. Publics. You know, when I think about our church, I consider our church to be a genuine family of good-willed people who love God and who are here this morning because you want to make a difference and you want to worship God. We fit the profile of a John Q. and Jane Q. Public. That's the first reason why I wanted you to know. That's why I'm starting off the message. But also, I want you to know that God has a special place in His heart for common, ordinary people. People like you and people like me. I say that confidently because the Bible is filled with stories where our extraordinary God reaches down in time and space to ordinary people. People like you and people like me. And this morning, we're going to take a look at a group of ordinary, common people. They're simply known as shepherds. Shepherds. You need to know that shepherding was a common, ordinary occupation in the first century. Now, I'm not a farmer and I didn't grow up on a ranch, but from my brief study, what I learned is that shepherds take care of sheep. Just saying. They make sure they're watered, they make sure they're fed. Now, in the first century, they had to be protected. Because of the rocky terrain, they could get into trouble very easily, but also because of predators and because of thieves. Thieves, they were a common property, and they were very valuable. And so these shepherds were common people. You need to know something, that the Jewish religious leaders looked down on the lowly, common, ordinary shepherd. Why? Because they considered them to be unclean. Because of their occupation, they're always out in the fields. They're always working hard. They're always doing their job, and they couldn't make their way to the synagogue or the temple to offer the sacrifices, to be made clean and whole again. So they're looked down upon. But let's face it, in the first century, these shepherds were common, ordinary people who had a common occupation. But God had a surprise for these shepherds. Something extraordinary happened to these shepherds. You know what I learned through my study of shepherds? That God has a special place in His heart for shepherds. Note this. Abel and Abraham were shepherds. Isaac and Jacob were shepherds. These are the patriarchs of our faith. Moses in midlife was a shepherd. David began as a shepherd. Amos the prophet was a shepherd. And Jesus identified Himself as the good shepherd. And the most famous psalm of all, Psalm 23, how does it begin? But you know what that means? People like you and I are identified as sheep. Now, I did learn, I don't know firsthand, but I read that they're dumb animals. And they often get themselves into trouble. And some things can happen to them because of their poor choices. Kind of sounds like humans, doesn't it? So you can see. But God has a special place in His heart for these common, ordinary shepherds. So much so that our extraordinary God brought the most extraordinary news down to these common, ordinary, lowly shepherds. And we're going to take a look at that story today. If you have your Bible, we're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. It's the story of the shepherds in the birth narrative of Jesus the Christ. Luke's gospel is a fascinating gospel because he gives details to us about the birth of Jesus because he had interviewed a number of eyewitnesses. I believe one of the eyewitnesses was none other than Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so he tells us these. He gives us a detailed account. Notice what he says about these common, lowly, ordinary shepherds. Beginning in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20, the story of the shepherds. Why did God choose these common, ordinary, lowly shepherds to receive the most extraordinary news? Well, let's find out and check out the reasons why. Reason number one comes in the first verse of this story, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Could it be simply that God chose the shepherds because they were available? That probably was not true of the townsfolk of Bethlehem. Let's face it, Caesar Augustus did them a favor by calling for the census. Remember, all these people were pouring into the various towns. They had to go to the back of their hometown, and they needed to be fed. They needed to have water. They needed to have some place to sleep. I bet you when God's looking out at Bethlehem at that time, he noticed that the shepherds were the ones that were available. They were steady, and they were ready out there in the field. So God chose those shepherds because they were available. You know that God is looking for fast people? Did you know that? Some of you who are looking up at me somewhat puzzled or smirking because you say, "I haven't run in a long time, Pastor. I'm even having trouble walking." But I still say, God is looking for fast people. It's an acronym. You may have heard it. When God is looking out upon humanity, he's looking for people who are faithful, people who are available, people who are servant-minded, people who are teachable. These are the kind of people that God is looking for in his wisdom. You know, he found that with the shepherds. They were simply available that night, and God made an extraordinary appearance to these ordinary common shepherds. So why did God choose these ordinary common shepherds to bring this extraordinary news? Well, the answer comes in the next group of scripture. Now I'm going to do this verse by verse. As some of you know, I like to do some verse by verse teaching, and I'm going to make a few comments about these verses. Notice who shows up out there in the fields with the shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You know, I believe this is the angel Gabriel. He's the messenger angel that comes to bring important messages to people. And every time he shows up, people are afraid. I don't think because he looks so frightening. I think it's clear in this verse that the glory of the Lord shone around them, meaning the absolute magnificence, the weightiness, the essence of God shone around them. And when you begin to see who God is and you understand his essence, his being, his character, It is awe-inspiring. You should take a step back and be in awe and wonder and fear the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And notice that the angel spoke to the shepherds. Don't you love the fact how God communicated through the angel in their own language? He spoke to these common shepherds and said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people." You know, that must have warmed the hearts of the shepherds to realize that this message, this extraordinary happening, was for them. Because they're included. The common, ordinary, lowly shepherds are included in the message. This is great joy for all the people. That today, that means right now, in the town of David, which was Bethlehem, the prophet Micah, I remind you, foretold and said 100 years before the Savior came that he would be born in Bethlehem. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior is one who saves from danger, that he's come to save God's people from the penalty of sin and death. And he's an actual baby that's born. But he is the Messiah, the long-awaited deliverer foretold by the prophets. And he is the Lord that God became one of us. Wow, what a message. What a baby. What an extraordinary message that he gives to these shepherds. So this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. You know, there's a lot of discussion about why would the Son of God be born in a stinky, smelly stable and be put in a lowly manger? Well, the obvious answer you may have heard, which is certainly true, it's to show the humility of God. That he didn't, the high and mighty did not come down all high and mighty, did he? He became low so that we could relate to this wonderful servant who loves us so deeply. But you know, there's another reason. I believe he was born in a stable and put in a manger for the sake of the shepherds. It's the one place they would know where to go. They knew where the stable was. Number two, they'd be welcomed in the stable. If Mary and Joseph were in the inn, these stinky, smelly shepherds, just saying, would not be welcome in the inn. Isn't it interesting how God had it all set up just for these ordinary, common, lowly shepherds? Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angel, praising God. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. We don't know what this looks like, but it had to have been absolutely incredible. You know, when you think about times where you'd like to be in a certain place in history, this would certainly be a choice on my top 10 list. What about you? How magnificent it must have been to see God revealing himself in such an extraordinary way to these common, ordinary, lowly shepherds. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. In the original language, this lets us know these words, these phrases, "let's go" and "hurried off," show there was a sense of urgency with the shepherds. They not only heard the message, but what we find, why God chose them, is simply because the shepherds responded. It's one thing to be available and to hear a message from God. It certainly is quite another to obey and respond. They responded with a sense of urgency and went off to find the baby. Why did God choose common, ordinary shepherds to bring them this most extraordinary news? Well, here's the third reason why in 17 and 18. When they had seen him, that is, the baby, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know, the shepherds were the first evangelists. Did you ever think of that? An evangelist is someone simply who just tells other people about Jesus. That's what they did. They were so excited. They were available. They responded. And after they saw the child, they went out and started telling people. And it says that they were amazed, meaning the word means to be marvel, to marvel at, to be wowed, to be enthusiastic. It was a positive response given to those shepherds. But they were the first evangelists. Could we say one of the reasons why God chose these lowly, common, ordinary shepherds? Is simply because he knew they would share the good news? When he was looking out at all the people in Bethlehem, he chose those shepherds. They were available. They responded to the news. And after they saw the baby, they went around the town and they shared the good news as the first evangelists. That's why God chose the shepherds. And so, what's the final reason? Why did God choose these ordinary common shepherds to bring this most extraordinary news? Well, this is one of my favorite verses in all the Christmas story, is verse 20 of chapter 2 of Luke. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, try to picture this in your mind's eye. That's what I was doing with this story. You know, maybe with a shepherd's crook, or I don't know. But you can just see them out there, just kind of maybe bouncing up and down. They're so excited. They were included in the good news. They knew they were common, ordinary, lowly shepherds. And here was God bringing this extraordinary news, and how they got to experience God in the flesh, in the manger, all these things. And they're so overjoyed, they cannot hold back. Have you ever been like that, in appreciation to God? Well, the shepherds were. And that's the fourth reason, is simply the shepherds were grateful, so glad that God had included them, these ordinary, common, lowly shepherds, in the most extraordinary news that God had brought to the world. The Savior had been born to them. He'd come to save them from their sins. Why did God choose common, ordinary, lowly shepherds to bring this most extraordinary news? Well, reason number one is the shepherds were simply available. The shepherds responded to the good news. The shepherds shared the good news. And the shepherds were grateful to God. What about you this new year? As you think about your life, we're headed out in a new year, and it's a great time to kind of reevaluate, set some goals, think about the future. Maybe you could use the shepherds as an example for your life. Maybe as you're thinking about the new year, thinking to yourself, you know what? This year, I want to be available to God. Whatever he says, whatever he's coming to me about, and then respond to what he says. And we know that God has provided us with a love letter. Do we not know that? It's called the Bible. And you go through and you begin to read and you begin to study and you begin to memorize. You begin to look into the Word of God, and he reveals all these amazing things to you. He comes to you and he wants you to respond, not only listen, not only be available, but actually respond. And then we know that the mission of our church is to introduce people to Jesus and help people to become Christ's fully devoted followers. That's the mission of the church. It's based on the Great Commandment and on the Great Commission. And so we too are supposed to share the good news. And let's make 2017 a year of gratefulness. I mean, has God been good to us or not? I mean, in the least, we should be thanking God and praising God for all that he's done for us. Amen? He's an amazing God, and the greatest gift of all is our salvation in Christ. You can know for sure your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. What we discover is an extraordinary Savior came for ordinary people like you and me. Is that encouraging or what? You don't need a degree. You don't need certain education. You don't need to have certain skills. You don't need certain requirements. You don't have to pass some sort of a test. You just need to come humbly before our wonderful God and open up your heart. And he's looking down at you and saying, yes, you're the kind of person that I want to make a difference in. You're available. You're going to respond. You'll tell others the good news, and you'll do so with a grateful heart, because an extraordinary Savior came for ordinary people, people like you and people like me. You know, anytime we tell the Christmas story, we always do it with the shadow of the cross in mind. Because you remember when Joseph had a visitation from the angel, and he revealed the name to Joseph, and he said, you're going to name him Jesus. That's the name that God provided. You're going to name the baby Jesus because Jesus means, it's Joshua or Yeshua, it means the Lord's salvation. And it tells his mission. Right in the beginning, right in the Christmas story, we find the mission. And the mission, as we see from the beautiful symbolism we have here, right here at our church for our Christmas program, we have the manger that represents the birth of the Son of God and his life to show us how to live. But then in the shadow of the cross, we have the manger. The cross looks down, telling us his mission, that he came into the world to die a horrible, painful death on a cross. Because on that cross, he paid the punishment that you and I deserve for our sin. He was our substitute. He took our place. And 3 days later, he defeated death and came back alive again, which are historical facts, by the way. So we always remember that this little baby, cute little baby, came to show us how to live, but then to die a horrible death out of love for you and me, and then to defeat death and come back alive again.